The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Mem Aleph. Today's daf is being studied Le'alun Ishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Latzlachat. The soldiers in the army in Eretz Yisrael, Bayabasha, Ba'avir, Bayam, that they should have success in their efforts in the north, protecting our land, as well as the citizens, Yehudim, living Toshave Eretz Yisrael, that Borei Olam should protect them and save them from all our enemies and any chas v'shalom harm and damage. Amen.
Amen.
We are on Gemara Mem Aleph, and we will start four lines down. And the Gemara now goes into a subject of kinin. We discussed at the end of yesterday's Gemara that a lady, a yoledet, or a zava, when she finishes her purity process, she has to bring birds. One bird is brought as a hatat, and one bird is brought as an olah. We said that she verbally designates them to respective olah and hatat status. So since we discussed that on yesterday's daf, so now the Gemara is going to digress a little into some of the laws of these birds. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Chisda, En hakinin mitparshot Ela o belekihat ba'alim o ba'asiyat kohen. So Rav Chisda gives us a very important rule. When do the birds become designated? At what point does the owner designate the birds and the designation is going to be effective? So he says one of two points. O bilkihat ba'alim means when the owners buy them. So at the time of the purchase, that's a time of designation. O ba'asiyat kohen. Or at the time that the kohen is actually sacrificing them, so he's able to designate. Which means those are the only two times you designate. Meaning if let's say the owner bought them, he didn't designate, and he wants to designate after the purchase, the designation is not hal. It has to be dafka at the purchase or dafka at the time that the Kohen himself is doing the Korban. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Asher, my Ta'amad Rav Chisda. What's the reason of Rav Chisda? Dichtiv, because we have Pesukim. One Pesuk says, Velakeha. Right? The first Pesuk actually says, Velakeha Shete Torim. O shene bene yona, echad le'ola ve'echad le'chatat, ve'asa. The next pasuk says, ve'asa ha'kohen et ha'echad chatat ve'echad ola. So one pasuk says, lekiha, which is purchase, and one pasuk says, ve'asa, when he actually performs the service. So therefore the Gemara says, o belekiha, o ba'asiyas. One of those two times, the bird becomes designated. Metibe, we have a question from a braita. Ba'asau hatat. We learned in the pasuk yesterday from the sifra that when the pasuk says ba'asau hatat, you have to make the sa'ir. That's going over the mountain, sa'ir ha'mishtaleh. It says ba'asau hatat. So the Gemara says, Hagoral Oseh Hatat. It's the Goral, it's the lottery that makes it a Hatat. Ve'en Hashem Oseh Hatat. But verbal designation does not make it a Hatat. Sheyachol, because without this Pasuk, I would have said the other way. I would have said, Ve'halo Dinu. I would have made a Kadahomer. Uma Bimkom Shelo Kiddesh Hagoral. Kiddesh Hashem. In a place where the Goral doesn't work. For example, why the birds of the yoledet on the zavah, when the designation of the birds goral doesn't work, but verbal designation does work. Makom shekidesh goral, enodin shekidesh Hashem, in a place where the goral works. For example, the sa'ida mishtaleach, or the more so verbal designation should work. That's what I would have thought if I didn't have a gizlat katuf. Talmud lomar ve'asau hatat. Hagoral oseh hatat, ve'en Hashem oseh hatat. Good, so that was the Tosefta, or the Sifra, that we said yesterday. Now let's analyze it ourselves. In the Havamin over here, we were thinking that the verbal designation should work for the Sa'ir, just like it works for the Kinim. Now, at what point are we designating the Sa'ir over here? It's not at the time of the purchase, and it's not at the time of the Asiyah. It's between the purchase and the Asiyah. So if we're learning it from Kinim, in the Gemara's Havamina, we're in a Havamina now. The Gemara thought to say, oh, without a Gizrat HaKaduv, I would have learned from Kinim. And I would have said, just like Kinim, verbal designation works. When does verbal designation work? Either at the Nikiha or the Asiyah. So I would have said, who adin that you could do verbal designation by the Sa'ir. So the Gemara says, ve'aka de'lav sh'at nekiha ve'lav sh'at asiyahi de'katani de'kava. But still the Gemara says, it's kava, meaning I would have had a havamina to say that the verbal designation by the Sa'ir is valid, even though it's not a tilekiha or the asiyah. Now, if you're learning from the birds, it's got to be like the birds. Right now, the whole kavachomer is from the kinim. The Gemara says, "Amar Rava, haki kamar, ma bimkom shelo kidesh agoral, vaafilu b'shat lekiha, vaafilu b'shat asiya, kidesh Hashem b'shat lekiha b'shat asiya." Makom shekidesh agoral shelo b'shat nekiha v'shelo b'shat asiya enodin sheyekadesh Hashem b'shat nekiha u'b'shat asiya. So the Gemara just adjusts the kal v'chomer, and it throws in shat asiya and shat nekiha, and the kal v'chomer go like this: if what by the birds, where goral doesn't work by shat nekiha or asiya, but verbal does work at Likiha or Asiyah, so by the Sa'ir, where the Goral works anytime, certainly verbal should work at least at Sha'at, Likiha, and Asiyah. So the Gemara says, Tavud Omar, Vasau Chatat. That's why we need to get to the Kadut to say no. Vasau Chatat, Hagoral Ose Chatat, Ven Hashem Ose Chatat. So, therefore, basically, what the Gemara did over here was, the Gemara is explaining the Havamina over here. Even in the Havamina, when we were discussing Sa'ida Mishtaleya, you should know it was only going as far as Sha'at Nekiha and Sha'at Asiyah. That was the only time verbal we would have a Havamina to think that it's okay. Just like the Kinim. Okay. Let's just read one Rashi over here. In a Kinim mitparshot. That's the third line. Ezu le'ola ve'ezu le'hatat. You cannot designate the ola or the hatat. Ela o bilkihat be'alim. Im kishekan'an. When he bought them. Amar ze ani lokeh le'ola ve'edze le'hatat. Shuv en ha-kohen yachol lishanotam ba'asiyatam. The kohen cannot change them anymore. They're locked in. V'im shina pasul. And if he changed them, they're pasul. V'im kishikana'an lo pirish, af api shikana lam shem lahar mikin. Even if he designated them a name after the purchase, en shem har alehem. The name is not valid on them. V'yachol ha-kohen lishanotam. Right? Because he has the time of the asiyah. So really these two times are the only times that designation is hal. Okay, let's just read the next Rashi. V'lakeha ve'asa biyoledet ketiv, by the lady that gave birth, it says, V'lakeha shetet torim o shenei b'nei yona, echad le'ola v'echad le'chatat, v'chim ha'misora. V'gave zava, actually that would be, v'gave zav. Okay, uchtiv gabe kohen. Right, ve'asa kohen et ha'echad chatat ve'echad ola. So what do you see over here? Alma, o b'sh'at tekihanik ma'in, o b'sh'at asiyatan. either Nekiha or Asiyah, but Beni Beni lo. But in between, no. Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tashema. Metame Mikdash. Ani. You have a fellow that's an Ani, he's a poor man. And he entered the Beit HaMikdash when he was Tameh. So he's a Metameh Mikdash Ani. Now we know that there's a special Qurban he has to bring under such circumstances. It's called the Qurban Oleh V'Yored. Oleh V'Yored is a fluctuating Qurban depending on the person's economic status. There's three levels. You have the Ashir, you have the Dal, and then you have the Dale Dalut. You have the rich, the poor, and the very poor. The rich man, he brings animals, obviously. That's rich, he can afford it. The poor guy brings birds, and the very poor guy brings flour. So that's what they call it an Oleh V'Yored, because it's a floating Qurban. Sometimes it's Oleh, and sometimes it's Yored. Sometimes it's a high, and sometimes it's low, depending on, like I said, the economic status of the transgressor. So now we discuss over here a Metameh Mikdash Ani. So therefore he's obligated to bring birds. The Qurban that he brings is two birds, one for Hattat and one for Ola. Now I want to point out, if it was a rich man that sinned, he brings an animal, one animal, the Hattat. There's no Ola for the rich man. The poor man, since he's bringing less, so they compensate him by bringing one Hattat as well as one Ola. Whereas the rich man, he brings just one animal solely for Qurban, Hattat. Okay? Good? Now the Gemara explains. Story Tashema, what happened here? Metameh Mikdash Ani Vifrish Ma'ot Lekino. So he designated monies for his birds. Ve'ashir. And in the interim he became rich. Now, Ve'ahar kach amar elu lehattato ve'elu le'olato. Then what he did was, with the monies that he had designated, he verbally committed them. And he said, these monies over here, he put them in a pile, this is for my hatat, and these monies over here are for my ola. Well, now that he's a rich man, he has to bring an animal, not a bird. So let's say he designated $20, $10 for one bird, $10 for the other bird. But now he has to buy a korban that's worth $100. So he's got to kick in $90 more into one of these piles. So the Gemara says, which pile does he kick the $90 in? So the Gemara says, Mosif umevi chovato medeme hatato. Well, he adds the $90 to the hatat pile, because an ashir only brings a hatat. So you have 10 already designated. Right? He didn't buy the bird yet. It's just $10. He's designated for hatat. Add 90. Now you have 100, go to the market and buy an animal. Ve'en mosifu mevi chovato medeme olato. Now, he cannot add the 90 to the ola money for hatat, because the ola money was already designated for ola. Well, now that he can't bring that ola, so we'll have to take that money and buy an ola for nidaba. It'll go as a donation. Okay, that's the derech that the Gemara is telling us. Now the Gemara analyzes, ve'acha de'lav sha'at l'kiha ve'lav sha'at asiyahi. Hold it. When is the designation taking place over here? Not at the time that he's buying the birds or the animal, and not at the time that the Kohen is performing. It's monies here. The monies are designated. That's not sha'at kiniyah. Sha'at kiniyah is when he's at the market, he's buying the bird after he bought it. Here, the monies are just on his table. So the Gemara is saying, at that point, add the $90 to your hatat and designate it for hatat. Or even before that. Even before that. It says, after he became rich, he designated money. This is the hatat money, and this is the ola money. And it's mashma that it was hal. How do we know it was hal? Because when he became rich, what do we say? He could only add to the hatat money, but he can't add to the ola money. That means the money's already designated. So the Gemara is asking the obvious question. You just gave me a principle. Designation for kinim happened at one of two stages. Here it's mashma, it's happening at a different stage. At the time of designation of money. Designation of money is not sha'at likiha, nor is it sha'at Asiya. So the Gemara is Viketani Dekava. But it says in the Braita, from the fact that we're learning these halakhot, it says it was Koveya. Amar Rav Sheshat. So Rav Sheshat comes along and says, hold it. Before you start asking questions from this Braita against Rav Chisda, because again it was Rav Chisda that taught us the rule of when designation is hal. So Rav Sheshat comes along and says, you can only ask from this Braita against Rav Chisda if it's a authentic Braita. But Rav Sheshat's going to say, I'm going to prove to you that this Braita cannot be authentic. There's something wrong with the Braita intrinsically, and therefore we're going to have to adjust this Braita. And once we adjust it, you'll see it won't be a question on Rav Chisda. So Amar Rav Chisda, v'tisbera? Meaning, does it make sense to you that this Braita is logical? Why? V'amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Roshaya. We have a statement from Rabbi Elazar Amar Roshaya. Metamem Mikdash Ashir. You have a Metamem Mikdash, he went to the Metamem Mikdash when he was Tameh, but he's a rich man. Ve'vi Korban Ani. He brought a korban of ani, meaning he brought birds, right? Lo yatsa, which means his korban doesn't count. It's lo yatsa. Oh. That being said, he's asking a very strong question on his braita. Let's get the braita clear. What happened here? The man was an ani. First braita, he was an ani. He went into the Beit HaMikdash. He designated money for his korbanot. Then he became rich. After he became rich, then he said, this is for my hatat and this is for my ola. Go back to the braita to get the braita clear. I'll read it to you again so you make these points. The braita said, the tashema metamim mikdash ani v'frish ma'ot lekino. He just put the money on the side. He didn't say what is what. He just put the money on the side. V'ashir, after he became rich, ahar kach amar elu l'hatato ve'elu l'olato. Now hold it. After he becomes rich, there's no ola. We said that ani brings ola. So how did you even learn this braita? Which means, why is the designation of the ola even ola at all? We know a statement. If an ashir brings the korban of an ani, it's nothing. So therefore, how can you tell me in this braita? The braita doesn't make sense. Why are you telling me that the ola money became ola money? At the time that he designated as ola money, he was an ashir. The kaura, the braita should say, if he did that, nothing, the money is nothing. He could add his khatat money to any pile he wants. So Rav Sheshat's coming and hold it. This braita has problems. Before we get to Rav Chisda, how do you understand the Lashon of the Braita at all? In lieu of what Rav Hoshaya teaches us, that in light of what Rav Hoshaya teaches us, that an Ashir cannot bring the Qurban of an Ani. So Gemara says, V'chivan de lo yatsan, finishing the question, since he's not Yotzeh, Ech Yikava, how do you designate it for monies of Ola? Ela, that's what you have to say, May itlach lememar. How are you going to have to answer that question? Shekevar amar me'aniyuto. You're going to have to re-explain the braita that all this happened when he was still poor. Which means, the guy was an ani, he went into the Beit HaMikdash. He designated his money. He separated hatat monies and ola monies. When he was still poor, oh, then the monies are going to be hal. Then he became rich. Oh, good. When he became rich, then we understand the Gemara. Only put it in the pile of hatat, but don't put it in the pile of ola. Oh, but once you're coming on to say this, now we can answer Rav Chisda. Now, so the Gemara says, Hachename shekevar amar mishat hafrasha, which means I could come along and say that when did you designate this ola and hatat? I'll say it was designated for hatat and ola at the time that you were mafrish, at the time that you separated the money. Now, what is separating the money? Is separating the money shat lekiha or shat asiyah? So Rashi comes along and says, look at Rashi, two lines from the bottom. Actually, we could read the Elam Ma'itlach Lememar. Read that big Rashi towards the bottom. See, it's one, two, three, four lines after they get wide. Watch. We'll read inside. Ela may itlach lememar al korhak mebaya leshibusha. We have to say that the bright over here, the way we have it, is a shibush. It's not authentic. Ul memar dehai ve'achar kach diktani. That word is achar kach. That after he became rich, he made the separation shibushu. Elahachi mebaya lelemitni. This is what it's supposed to say. Ve'amar elu lehatad ve'elu leola. ואחר כך העשיר ובשעת שקבען הווה קורבן חזי להם. The time that it was designated, it was ראוי תם וכיוון דל קורחת משבשתה היא. Once already you say that the bright is a משבשתה, it's not authentic because you see you have to change it. דרב חזדן אמה הכי תרצה. This is where we're going to answer it. שכבר אמר משעת הפרשה. Metani acha, say it like this. Metame mikdash ani, and he went to the mikdash ani. Shifrish ma'ot nekino, he separated the money for the birds. Ve'amar b'shat hafrasha, elu lehatad ve'elu leola, ve'arkach he'ashir, mosif u'mevi. Here's the key lines of Rashi now. The hafrasha b'ma'ot. Kishat lekihat ha'ofot. Right, which means what purchasing is to a bird, separating money is just as similar to purchasing. Which in the money stage, purchasing is considered hafrasha, and therefore it's considered shat hafrasha. Your shat kiniya, shat lekiha. Which means there's two sha'at nikiha. The sha'at nikiha when you actually go to the store and buy the bird, that's vadai sha'at nikiha. But in the money stage, when you separate the money into the piles and say zeh hatad, zeh ola, that's also considered sha'at nikiha. So what all the Rav Sheshat did is, once already you're starting to answer the braita, and you have to say, first of all, he did it when he was poor, in order to make it hal, right? So once already he's saying that, I can tell you, and he did it at Sha'at Hafrasha. She's the Lashon over here of the Braita doesn't say that the way we have it. Our Braita just said, Tashema, Metim Mikdash Ani Vifrish Ma'ot Tekino. He designated the money, then after he became rich. No, I'll say, he did it all when he was poor, meaning the designation when he was done when he was poor, and at the time of the designation he did Hatat and Ola. And therefore, it's considered like Sha'at. Nikiha, therefore no question on Rav Chisda. Good? Means we had to adjust the Braita a little. Because again, the way we had it, he was mafrish it and did nothing. Then when he became rich, he separated. There's two problems according to that. Number one, when you're rich, your separation to be nothing, because the Ola is not brought by a rich man. And number two, it's not Sha'at. Nikiha. The way we have it now, we took care of those two problems. The designation was done when he was still poor, and at the time of the designations, the monies, he also said, Ze'olav Ze'chatat. And designation of monies is considered Sha'at Lekiha. Comes the Gemara and says, Ela, Ma'itak Tanemar, Shekevar Amar Me'aniyutah, Kanami Shekevar Amar, Mesha'at Aflasha. Good, that's the Gemara's answer. Now the Gemara goes further. Ulrav Haga, Amar of Yoshiah, De Amar Yatsa. Stay on that daf, look at the bottom Rashi. There's an opinion of Rav Haga. Bottom Rashi, De Amar, Metamem Mikdash Ashir, Vehevi Korban Ani Yatsa. Oh. Rav Haga holds, guy walks into the Beit HaMikdash, Ashir. He designates the Korban of an Ani. Instead of bringing the animal, he designates the money for birds. It counts, he holds Rav Haga. Oh, so according to him, you don't have to change the Braita. According to him, the Braita can make sense according to the first version we had. Meaning, he was an Ani, he walked into the Beit HaMikdash, he designated monies, but he didn't say what is what. He became rich. At that point he said, Ola Chatat, according to Rav Haga, it's Hal. Now when he wants to do the right thing, so he said, add to the Chatat side, but don't add to the Ola side. Now once you're saying that, you can't answer this whole answer that Rav Sheshat gave to help Rav Chisda. Now you're stuck. Now the Braita is valid the way it is. If it's valid the way it is, you're not making the designation at the Sha'at, Hafrasha. You're not making it at the Sha'at, Nikiha. So how are you going to answer the Braita according to Rav Haggah, to answer Rav Chasdah? So the Gemara says, Rav Haggah Amar Rav Oshiyah Damar Yatsa. What are you going to say? So the Gemara says, Lo Tema. Ve'aharkach amar, ela ema ve'aharkach lakach ve'amar. Add a word, add one word into the braita, the word lakach, which means he was a poor man, he walked in the Beit HaMikdash. He designated money, but I didn't say what is what. He became rich. After he became rich, he then separated monies, but not only separated monies, he separated monies and bought. He went and bought an ola bird and a bird for a hatat. Okay, which means once you bought it, then the designation everybody's going to agree is going to be valid. Now we're going to have to see what does he do after, because now he's got birds in his hands. Now he's got to convert those birds into a animal. So the Gemara is going to say, now once you're adding the word lakah, that's fine. So you took care of the designation process. It's hal because it was a chat. Nikiha. But now you got to deal with the birds in your hand. How do you get rid of them to convert it into an animal? That's the Gemara's next point. Rashi does point out on the top that it is the derech of a Tana to leave out one word in a Braita. So therefore, even though this was a very integral word, which is instead of it's just saying Amar, as if it's saying Lakah ve'amar. Key word there being Lakah. Meaning at the time of the purchase, it was designated. So comes the Gemara and says, Ela ema ve'aharkach lakach ve'amar. Underline the word, lakach. Comes the Gemara and says, lakach? What? Is that the case where you bought the birds? Mosif u'mevi ovato mainyu. How did you add money for your hatat? What are you adding money to? You bought the bird already. Wait, you, I have an ola and I have a hatat. You add money. Add money to what? So the Gemara says, no. De parikle. Now you do a pidyon. Which means now you redeem the hatat for money. And now add to that money. Gemara says, hold it. Ve'a en pidyon la'of. Klal, the rule of pidyon was only said by behemot. It was not said by ofot. So once you buy these birds, they're stuck. You cannot now reconvert them into a behemah through a pinyon. Amar Papa. So the Papa gives the answer. Kegon shelakach pereda achat. Case like this. Guy designated the money when he was poor. Right? He became rich. Got a pile of money. He took half the money. He bought one bird. So he has now one bird and half a pile of money. Right? So the Gemara says, I ola zaban. If he bought an ola, beautiful. Mosif umevi chobato medeme hatato. The leftover money obviously is hatat money. Let him add to the hatat money. Vehai ola azladin daba. And the bird that was ola will go for a nedaba. Now, I hatat zaban. If he bought hatat and that one bird, en mosif umevi chovato medeme olato. Well, then he's stuck. He cannot add to the olah money, because the leftover money is obviously designated for olah. Ve'ay hatat az la lemita. The hatat bird has to go lemita, because you don't bring a hatat as nedaba. Hatat is by definition hatat. You can't bring a hatat as nedaba. And he's going to have to take new monies. Which means the only case of mosif is if the bird that he brought was an ola, then he can mosif on the leftover money that was hatat. That's what the braita was talking about, mosif. But if he bought a hatat, he's stuck. He can't do anything with the hatat. He's got to let it die. The money that he has left over is ola money. That money will be also, you buy an ola and bring it as a nedaba. He'll have to take new monies and by his korban chatan. So if that's the case, according to Rav Hagga, that's the way he learned the braita. So then, what did he gain by this case? You do gain that at the time of the buying, that's when it was hal, which means the purchase made it whatever it was, or an ola, or a hatat. And the mosif will only be in the case if it was a ola. I mean, the leftover money is your mosif to make it a hatat. So that's what we gain, or that's what we interpret it according to Rav Hagga. Gufa, we learned above. Amar ben Elazar, Amar ben Shaya, metamem mikdash ashir, vehevi korban ani lo yatsa. Right, the first opinion said, if a ashir brings the korban of an ani, lo yatsa. Verabbi Hagga Amar ben Shaya yatsa. As we learned, Rav Hagga held that even if an ashir brought the birds, it counts. Comes again, what on says. So now let's just focus on Rabbi Hagga, because that's what the question is going to be on. You tell me that a rich man can get away with a poor man's korban. So the Gemara is going to ask, but you don't see that by Mitzora. Why? Metive, we have a question from a Braita. Mitzora ani. You have a Mitzora ani, he's a poor Mitzora. Shevi korban ashir. He brought the korban of an ashir. The korban of a mitzora also fluctuates. So the Gemara says, if he brought the rich man's korban, yatsa. Okay, he can upgrade. However, ashir shevi korban ani lo yatsa. So Rabbi Hagga, why by mitzora if ashir downgrades, it's lo yatsa. But by metamim mikdash, you tell me if an ashir downgrades, he is yotze. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Shani atam dichtiv zot. Which is by mitzora, it says the word zot. What does zot teach us? Rashi. Shani mitzora. Right? Dichtiv zot tiye torat ha mitzora velo acheret. Which is, what do you mean? We have a gezat ha-ketu. Torah says, you have to bring this korban for the mitzvah. You cannot bring a different korban. Therefore, a rich man has to bring this. You don't have options to bring something else. It's got to be zot. It's got to be this. I think it's not the ketuv. You got to bring the right korban. So the Gemara says, oh, you got to bring the right korban. So then, the poor man should also not be able to upgrade by the mitzvah. If you tell me zot, it's got to be what it's got to be. So just like the rich man can't downgrade, the poor man shouldn't be allowed to upgrade. So the Gemara says, no. Harbi Rahmana Torat. The Torah also by Mitzvah says, Torah Achat. There's one law. Meaning, by when the rich man brings his korban, it says over there, Torah Achat. A rich man's korban is good for everybody. So now we have two standards by the mitzvah. The rich man's korban is Torah Achat, it's for everybody. That's why a poor man can upgrade. But she'enken, a rich man cannot downgrade, because it says, rich man, zot, you got to bring this. Now the Gemara is going to prove this. Vehatanya, this is not a question. This is Vehatanya that she says in Bini Huta. Sometimes Vehatanya are posing a question, and sometimes Vehatanyas are proofs. How do you know? You only know just from the context. In this case, that she tells us, Vehatanya, he says the word Bini Huta. It is to be read not as a question, but as a statement, as a proof. Torat lirabot mitzora ani shevi korban ashir. Yachol afilu ashir shevi korban ani tamud omar zot. Beautiful. Right, that says exactly the derash. Torah teaches me that ashir's korban is good for everybody. Zot teaches me that the ashir's got to bring an ashir by mitzvah. He cannot downgrade. Now the Gemara has one more question. Vinilaf mina. Once already, you have a rule by mitzvah. Learn from Mitzora to Metamei Mikdash. Which means, and say, whatever the rules of Mitzora are, should apply to Metamei Mikdash. And just like a rich man cannot downgrade by Mitzora, he should not be able to downgrade by Metamei Mikdash. Gemara says, no, mi'et rahmana, we have a special mi'ut, exclusionary terminology that says v'imdal hu. Rashi says v'imdal hu, if he is poor. Last Rashi before the Mishnah. Mi'ut hu mitzora hu de'ashir shevi korban ani lo yatsa. Aval sh'ar chibe korban ole v'yored lo. Meaning when the Torah says by the mitzora v'imdal hu, it's coming along to say dafka by a mitzora. If a rich man brought a poor man's korban, lo yatsa. Have extra words, imdalu. That's by mitzora. But by every other korban, ole v'yored, betamei mikdash and others, whatever they might be, a rich man that downgraded, yatsa. So therefore, you can't learn from everywhere else, which is mitzora is the exception. Why? Because you have special gezerat katuv from the extra words, v'imdalu. Key word thereby being who. Meaning who? The Mitzorah has these laws, but not anybody else. Okay, now we start the next Mishnah. Kashar Lashon Shel Zehorit Berosh Sa'ir HaMishtaleach. Okay. Now we go back to the Goral of the two goats. One is going off the mountain, and one is Lashem. So the Mishnah says, they would take a red string, and they would tie it around the head of the Sa'id HaMishtaleach, of the goat that's going to be sent out. And they would position it parallel to its exit. The door that it's going to leave the Beit HaMikdash, they would stand it in front of that door. And the one that's slaughtered, I mean, that's the one Lashem, that corresponds its Beit Shechitah. Now, we don't know what these words mean, keneged bet shechitato. I will give you the two options now, and then we'll see it in the Gemara. It could either mean one of two things. Either you position the animal parallel to the place where you're going to slaughter it. For example, the north. So you turn it to the place where you're going to slaughter it, and you just have it facing that way. Keneged bet shechitato. Or it can mean as follows. You put a string on the side of Mishtalayah around its head, around its horns, right? And on the sa'ir that's going to be slaughtered, you put a red string keneged bet shechitato around its neck. So bet shechitato could either mean the neck of the animal where you put a red string, or no, where you're positioning it to where you're going to slaughter it. That the Gemara will analyze. And she says, wait to the Gemara. Balo etzel paro shiniya. Okay, now, after he finishes the goral, he puts the string on, he positions the animals, we continue the service. He goes back to the second part. Till now we learned the Kohen did one part. The first part, what did he do? He made a vidui. What was the vidui? To atone for him and his family. Right? What is the second part? So it says, V'somech shetei adav alav. He puts his two hands over the part. U'mitvadeh. And he confesses, V'ka kaya omer. Anna Hashem. Again, Hashem is the Shem HaMeforash. Now we probably have to change this. This would go to, are we putting Aviti first? Aviti Pashati Hatati Lefanecha Ani Ubeti Ubene Aharon Am Kedoshecha. The second part atones not only for Aharon and his family, but for all the Kohanim. He adds the words Ubene Aharon Am Kedoshecha. Anna Hashem Kaperna La'avonot V'la'pesha'im V'la'chata'im She'aviti ושפרשתי ושחטאת לפניך אני ובתי ובני אהרון עם קדושך ככתוב בתורת משה עבדך כי ביום הזה יכפר עליכם לטהר אתכם מכל חטאותיכם לפני השם תטהרו והן עונין אחריו ברוך שם כבוד מלכותו לעולם ועד. When he would agree with say the pasuk כי ביום הזה יכפר לכם אתכם, יצא נבזה לפני השם, תתארו. So that way, when they would hear the Shem מפורש, not only in that pasuk, but Anna Hashem, etc. So the people that heard it would bow, the Gemara didn't say that, but we know they would bow, and they would say, Baruch Shem Kebod Malchuto, Le'olam Va'ed. Like we learned above, that when you hear Shem's name, you have to respond. Comes the Gemara and says, Ibai Lehu. Vela Nishchat, regarding the Korban that slaughtered, Akeshira Ka'eh, is it referring to that you put a string around its neck by the Beit HaShechitah? That's by this place of slaughtering? Or Or is it referring to, you don't put a string on it, you just position it towards the spot where it's going to be slaughtered. Tashema. I'll bring you a proof. Detani Rav Yosef. Kashar Lashon Shazurit Berosh Sa'ir HaMishtalayah. First, they would place a red string around the head, the horns of the Sa'ir that's being sent. Ve'imido Keneged Be'et Sheluho. And they would stand it against the front of the door that they would eventually send it out. Ve'lan Nishat. And to the one that's being slaughtered, Keneged Be'et Shechitato, they would place it. Keneged Shechitato. We don't know what that means yet. Shelo Yitarev Ze Baze. So we don't confuse the two goats. Velo Yitarev Ba'ahirim. And so we don't confuse the goats with other goats. So the Gemara is clearly saying that the reason why you do something with the goat that's being slaughtered, whatever you're doing, either putting strings or positioning, is so it doesn't get mixed up. So now the Gemara analyzes. If you're learning that it was referring to the string that you put a red string around its neck, Shapir, it makes sense. Because now, not only won't it get mixed up with its fellow goat next to it, because this has a string around its head, this has a string around its neck, but it won't get mixed up with other goats. I mean, there's other animals that are slaughtered on Yom Kippur that are also standing in that spot. Now, this animal has a string around its neck, so you will not confuse this goat with any other. The Braita makes sense. Now if you're going to say it's going on the position, meaning you position it to where it's going to be slaughtered, we know we're not going to confuse it with its friend, meaning the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach. Why? Because this has a string around its head, this doesn't have a string. However, but it will get confused with others. Because just like it doesn't have any string, others also don't have a string. Proof positive. Must be talking about the string. So now we learn the big hadush. Just like the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach gets a red string around its horns, the Sa'ir Shel Shem gets a red string tied around his neck. What do you gain by this? You gain that there's no confusion. Not between it and its friend, and not between it and any other korban. But you don't have to position it facing where you're going to slaughter it. Whereas the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, you do face it towards the door that it eventually is going to exit. Keneged Be'et Sheluho. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak said, Shete Lishonot Shamarti. He says, I heard about two, Lishonot literally means tongues, but it means red strings. And in Halakha, I heard laws, two red strings. Ahad Shil Para, Ve'ahad Shil Sa'ir HaMishtaleach. No. One of the strings is the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach that we're talking about now, that you put around the horns. And the other one is the Para Aduma. Now we're learning a hadush that by Para Aduma, also a red string was used. Now he's going to teach us the halachot. Achat tzricha shi'ur, ve'achat ena tzricha shi'ur. And I heard, regarding these two strings, one needs a shi'ur, a significant shi'ur, which we'll see what it is, and one doesn't need a shi'ur. Even a kol shi'ur is okay. Ve'lo yada'na heminayu. But I don't know which one needs the shi'ur, and which one doesn't? Is it the Para Aduma or the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach? Amar Rav Yosef, Nechze Anan. Rav Yosef says, let's analyze it ourselves. Shel Sa'ir HaMishtaleach Deba'e Haluka Ba'e Shi'ur. It makes sense that the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, since you split the string, it's mashma that it would need a significant Shi'ur. What do you mean you split the string? Before they would throw it off the mountain, they would split the string and they would leave some on top of the mountain. They would put it on the rock that was on top of the mountain. When they would throw the animal off the mountain, if the sins of Israel were atoned, miraculously the red string on the rock would turn white. That would be a siman. Like we said, kesheleg yalbinu. So therefore, it makes sense. If you have to split it, obviously you need a shi'ur. V'shel para de lo ba'e haluka, lo ba'e shi'ur. But the Para Aduma doesn't say anywhere where you're splitting the string. It's mazma, but the Para Aduma, you also tie it around the Para, but it's minimal. You put a kol shi'ur. Now, comes the, incidentally, where do you see by the Parah Adumah they need a red string at all? So Rashi brings down the Pasuk in Bamidbar Yotet, Velakah HaKohen Etz Eres Ve'ezov Ushni Tola'at. Shni Tola'at. That is the red string. So clearly by the Parashah it does say you need a red string. Matkif La Rameh Bar Hamah. So Rami Bar Hamah has a question. De Parah Nameh Ba'eh Kobet. Hold it. You should need a shirud by the Parah Adumah, because the string of the Parah Adumah needs weight. What do you mean it needs weight? They would tie the string to the animal, right? With the string, they would tie in it agudat ezov, a hisap, and it is a piece of cedar. And then it says behishlich, you would throw it el toch sirifat parah. You would throw the etzeres, the ezov, ushni tola'at, that string tied to these items, you would throw it into the fire of the parah. And one opinion says it has to be weighted down, so when you throw it, it lands in the actual fire, goes to the bottom. So therefore, if you're saying it needs shi'ud, kovet, weight, it's mashma, maybe that it needs a shi'ur. Meaning the string cannot be a kosher. Maybe the string's got to be significant in order to also give it weight. Some weight. So how are you telling me, Rabbi Yosef, nah, the Parah Adumah doesn't need weight. Doesn't need the shi'ur. Maybe it does need shi'ur. It needs kovet. Now look at the Rashi Ba'e Kovet for a second. It's 1, 2, 3 lines before they get wide. Ba'e Kovet. Shete kiveda. So it's heavy. V'tipol letoch omekaur, so it'll fall to the depths of the fire. Kedichtin el toch serifat apara. So Kazi Rabbi Amar de Rabba Kovet Tanaei. What do you want? The whole subject of Kovet is machloket Tanaim. Some say you need Kovet, some say you don't need Kovet. So Rabbi Yosef is going like the opinion that you don't need Kovet, and if you don't need Kovet, it makes sense to say that the shiur for the strings only by the Sedele Mishtaleh, not by the Parah Adumah. Rabbi Yosef, your whole logic was, well, it makes sense that the Parah Adumah doesn't need a shi'ur because you don't split the string. You only split the string by the Sayyidah Mishtaleah. So the Gemara challenges that. The Gemara says what? By the Parah Adumah you don't split the string? How does he do with the red string by the Parah Adumah? Korchan b'shire lashon. It says they would tie the agudat ezov and the shni and the agudat ezov and the etz eres, the hyssop and the cedar, with the remnants of the red string. Remnants sounds like you're splitting the string, meaning part of the string is wrapped around the parah, and then you have remnants or the residue, whatever, is used to wrap around. That's mashma. It's split in half. So how did you tell me, Rabbi Yosef, no, the Psa'id, they split, but the Parah, they didn't split. What do you mean? You see, obviously they split. So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it meant. Gemara says, Ema Bezanav Lashon. Bezanav Lashon literally means, yeah, with the tail of the Lashon. Look at Rashi, second wide line. Siruka B'Masrik. Right, the red string they would comb. The na'asit ketzara l'rosh ha'echad kemin zanav. The end of it would become narrow. That's when you're combing it, so it would be wide on the let's say one side, and as they're combing it down, it gets narrow to the other part. So it's saying they would tie the etz and the ezov. They wouldn't split the string. When they say the shiyare, it means the part of the string that becomes narrow at the end. So it's all on top of the parah. Just at the end of it, they're just tying the... So they didn't split it. That's what the Gemara is saying. They didn't split it. Comes the Gemara and says... The Me'iri just says over here that the reason why they would only tie their etz eres and the etz up to the end of the string, they would not use the whole string. So he writes, "Kedesh yidu sheloshtam," We want it all to be visible. Because if you're going to tie the thick part of it, it's going to cover the etz eres. We want to see the etz eres and the ezov. So put it at the end where it's very narrow part, and you tie it so everything is visible. Comes Gemara and says, Amar Rav Hanin, Amar Rav. Etz eres ushni tolat shekaltatan shalhevet keshera. Oh. New point. You took the etz eres, the cedar, and the shni tolat, it's all tied up, you had to throw it into the fire. Let's say the flames consumed it before it landed. It didn't land in toch. You threw it in, but those flames were so strong, it just consumed it in the air. He says, Keshera, it's okay. Metibe. We have a question from a braita. Nitabehe ba'lashon, mevi lashon aheru mekadesh. Says over here, if the lashon, if the red string and the things that were attached to it got burnt, nitabehe, it got singed in the fire, you have to bring another one. Which means, brother, if it got burnt in the air, it's not good. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Kashya, kan bekolachat, kan benichfefet. It depends what type of fire you have. One is kolachat. What is kolachat? Rashi says, esh sheyesh aleha amud shalevet zakuf lemaala, kekelach shel esef gavoa. You have a fire that has a pillar, meaning the fire is shooting up like a grass, like a kelach shel esef, like a clump of grass that's, you know, standing upright. Sarich lavi acher. Then, if it got burnt in such a fire before it landed, you have to bring another one. Ve'had amar abchanin keshera b'nichfefet. Nichfef means it's a low fire. Esh sheshalevet nemucha v'kipufa v'simucha l'gahalta. It's close to the coals. It's a low fire. So if it gets burnt in a low fire, since it's next to the coals, it's okay. In a tall fire, where it's not next to the coals, it's no good. So there's no stira, there's no machloket. Comes the Gemara and says, Rava Amar, different answer, Kovid Tanaehi. The subject of Kovid is actually a Mahloket Tanaim, meaning, this what you just said, if it's got to burn in the flames, one rabbi says it's kasher, and one rabbi says no, it's got to go down, that Mahloket is dependent on do you need Kovid or not, do you need weight? If you're going to say you need weight, so it's got to land at the bottom and burn. But if you hold you don't need weight, it can burn even in the flame on top. So Rava's coming along and saying, forget about high flames, low flames. It's got that issue here. The issue is, do you need weight? Once you solve the issue of do you need weight, which is a machlokat tanaim, each rabbi can take whatever tanaim want, then it's going to depend if it can burn in the flame itself or it's got to go to the bottom. So Rava says, and we read it inside, Rava amar kovid tanaim, the Tanya. Lama korchan. What's the reason why you have to wrap all these things together? It's it is agudat ezov shnitolat kedeshet kulan bagudachat. Rabbi said just so they're all together because the Torah says you want all these things together. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer kedeshiye behem kovid viyipelu letoch serefat hapara. But the other rabbi, which is Rabbi Elazar, says no. The reason why you have to tie them all together is to give them weight. The first rabbi said you tie them all together just so they can be together. Nothing to do with weight, because the Torah is mashma that they have to be together. Why is it mashma like that? Look at Rashi Tulanch at the bottom. The ba'inan shiu nilkachin bevatahat dichtiv velakach etz eres ve'ezov ushni tolat. Stop! You gotta take them together. Second rabbi says no. You know why I put them together? Because it's heavier. So therefore, since we see already we have a machloket between the Bi and the Bi Elazar and the Bi Shimon, do you need COVID or not? So now we go back to the machloket of the Amoraim and say, the Amora that said, if it burns, Amoraim that said, no, by the case of, when it said above, it was Amar Rav Hanin, Amar Rav. Right, that was Amoraim. That what? That when it falls in the fire, it's kasher, because you don't need COVID. According to the opinions, no. If it falls in the fire, it's no good. Because you need COVID, you need weight. So it's a different machloket. The first answer was no, different flames. High flames and low flames. This answer doesn't matter what size flames they are. If you need COVID, I don't care, even on a small flame, it's got to go to the bottom. You need weight. If it's according to the other opinion, even if it's a tall flame and it burns in the middle, it's okay. Why? Because you don't need kovet. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.